What
Is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to the special live edition of Smack Talk, coming to you from SmarkOutMoment.com. This is episode number 143, and this is our second attempt at the summer block party that we did last year. There's three times of the year that we go ahead and we do a live edition of Smack Talk. One around WrestleMania time, one around SummerSlam time, one around Survivor Series time, and we invite you guys to call into the show tonight, talk to us about whatever you want to talk about. We have this very on-the-fly, very whatever-the-fuck-just-happens kind of a thing. So we don't have the same standardized segment breakdown that we usually do. We're just going to kind of see what happens, and whatever the fuck goes on, that's the chaos that we're embracing tonight. Joining me on the call right now is perennial co-host Mike Payton. What's up, Mike?
I am Groot.
You are not Groot. We are Groot.
Oh.
Guardians of the Galaxy, good movie for anybody who hasn't seen that yet. And not so much the Ninja Turtles movie, but we talked about that on Fanboys Anonymous. This is Smack Talk. We've got some different things we're going to talk about for this episode. And let's just do what we usually do at the very beginning of this and throw out a little Ask Him trivia question. And you guys can actually call into the live show and answer it this time around instead of just waiting and leaving a comment on the YouTube page. So I have a really simple one. Who is Alberto Del Rio's father? If you think you know the answer to that, and I'm pretty sure that you do, go ahead, call in and you know, give it a shot at answering that. And you can call in at, what is the number that we've got here? We've got like three or four different numbers. If you are not aware, we've had lots of different problems with Blog Talk Radio as of late. So that is why we're a little bit late on here and a little bit on my part. So I apologize for that. But if you guys want to call in and you think you know the answer and, you know, the blah, 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 then you can call in using the Skype little app that is showing up on blogtalkradio.com at the moment, or at least it should be. Or you can also call in one of the two numbers that we have, and those are 760-512-7247 or 713-955-0363. So let's start talking about some of the hot tags that are going on this weekend because of the Ask Him that I had just mentioned. Let's start with Del Rio. Alberto Del Rio was released from WWE out of the blue because of some disorderly conduct backstage. And the story going around, from what I've heard at the very least, I'm not sure if you've heard anything different, Mike, but the story I've been hearing is one of the social media guys made a derogatory remark that Del Rio was supposed to be cleaning one of the tables or something. Mm-hmm. And Del Rio asked him to apologize, or probably didn't ask him nicely. You know, he probably told him, what the fuck, dude, you need to apologize for that kind of a thing. And then slapped him. Which, for anybody who's a wrestler, that might not be as big of a deal. But for the people that aren't wrestlers, that could be a potential lawsuit. So, what do you think about this whole scenario?
This is very fishy because there's a lot wrong on both sides. And ultimately, though, I think the person that should be taking the brunt of the heat for this and is taking the brunt for the heat of this is Alberto Del Rio. This is the guy who's a high-profile star. This is the guy who was a champion for over a freaking year with that goddamn company. And a guy who was brought in, skyrocketed to the main event, and treated very well the last number of years he was there. Maybe not so like much the last like 6 months, but this guy has been a top-tier guy his entire career with WWE. And they gave him the moon with the cars and the pyro, having a manager. Who had like a manager to the extent that he did for the time that he did? You know, besides until Paul Heyman and Zeb Coulter came back into the mix.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody that really had a manager with Del Rio and Ricardo at that time. I mean, for that was like, what, like 3 years or so before they started really getting back in the managers?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. So this guy got everything handed to him in that company. I shouldn't say handed to him. He earned his way there. I'm not going to completely shit on him for that. But the moon was given to this guy, and he ran with it for a while. But to get yourself into a situation like this is terrible. I mean, especially for a guy who lives in the world of wrestling where, let's be frank here, this is a world of make-believe. This is a world of stories. And there's stories all the time that are told that involve much worse things as far as racism or other things are concerned. And to get so upset about just a comment like this, was it rude? Yes. Was it stupid? Yes. Does this guy probably deserve to be slapped? Abso-freaking-lutely. But you're not the guy to do it. You know, you have to have thicker skin than that. You have to be able to turn the other way. You have to be the bigger man in the situation, and you have to just let that one go. It was a poor choice by him, and now he's eating what he did. The social media guy, he's a jerk too. I don't want to defend him. I mean, who knows? Maybe this is just some stupid off-color joke. Maybe he said it completely in jest, and then, you know, the whole thing is that Del Rio approached him, and apparently he laughed at Del Rio when he did it. Maybe this was all just like a stupid joke, and maybe Del Rio's getting all bent out of shape of it. Maybe Del Rio was just caught on a bad day, and he overreacted to something he would have known as a bad joke. We'll never know all the angles of the story here. This is an unfortunate thing to have to happen to someone for them to go out. I mean, we've never been big fans of Alberto Del Rio here, so we're not going to exactly cry any waterfalls over this guy. But it's an unfortunate way for a guy who has had a very high-profile career to have to go out. You know, why couldn't he? Well, obviously we know why now, but it's a shame he couldn't have gone out with some big retirement match to help put over some other young star in the way.
Or at the very least, if he would have been able to put over people and then transition into being fired.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he would have spent the last year losing to everybody. Because, fuck, Del Rio still was winning matches here and there. And, I mean, like you alluded to, the fact that we are not the biggest supporters of him, I'm sure we would have been much happier with the idea of Del Rio becoming a jobber and losing matches and somebody, even like a Heath Slater, getting that spot instead.
Hmm? I mean, let's not forget it was just this past Monday's Raw where we saw him. He lost to Dean Ambrose, but after a long competitive match, and especially a long match considering it was a beat-the-clock challenge match, those matches are usually shorter in length. So up until the very end, he was a very protected guy on the TV.
And really unjustified, I think. Did they really need to protect Del Rio that much? If he was that good, he would have been able to get to that spot that they wanted him to be on his own. They didn't need to make such a big deal out of every little thing and ignore every little negative that he had. I mean, how many times did we have that feud between Sheamus and him for, it was like 7 months or something?
Yeah.
And, you know, and nobody was really that into it, but they wanted him to be a top guy. And so many other people in WWE, they maybe get like a chance here and there to prove themselves, but even if they're reaching that top level, if they're not already there, WWE just cuts them off. Like a Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler gets so much better of a reaction than Alberto Del Rio does, yet he's had to fight and claw to get every little tiny success that he has. I mean, right now, he's getting one of the biggest pops out of anybody in the company consistently, and he's only feuding with The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship, and he's going to lose the match. He's not going to win the title. Yet somebody like a Del Rio will do jack shit for an entire year, and they had this mentality for the longest time where we need a new champion, let's just give the World Heavyweight title to Del Rio. I never understood that.
Well, I just don't think they had much else to do with the World Heavyweight title for those last few years. But, I mean, to their credit, that was the guy that they wanted, and that was the guy that they stuck with for a good amount of time. I mean, from when he won that Royal Rumble, he was still winning that title again a couple years later. They never lost interest very quickly, like a lot of those guys that you stated. And I think a lot of that has to do with his background coming into it. This guy was a big, big star down in Mexico before he came up here, and you know, so was Sin Cara. We saw how all that worked out. But I would have to at least say that Del Rio worked out better than Sin Cara as far as what he's brought to the company. I think we can at least say that much.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Sin Cara thing, that was a huge disappointment. And Del Rio obviously has given them a lot more to go on than Sin Cara. I mean, Sin Cara never won any championships. He never headlined any main events and nothing like that. But I also kind of think they put so much into Del Rio that it's almost like getting your hopes up and then it's worse. You know what I mean?
Del Rio had a really awesome package when he first came in. I mean, I was even buying the Alberto Del Rio hype when he first came in. The whole complete thing he had with the vignettes they aired for him, the cars, the scarf, the freaking pyro, and of course, Ricardo Rodriguez. It was an excellent package, and I was definitely buying it. It just, never followed up in the end, and ended up just being a couple years of him being shoved down our throats, and now it's going to end this way.
Well, you know who's got a much, much better package overall, but still hasn't gotten the chance?
Big E?
Yes. Bringing that joke back.
Yeah. Have you seen some people are speculating that this is a work?
Yeah, I don't believe that at all. Not at all.
People will think anything is a work. But, you know, they do raise a lot of points. Their verbiage that they used on the release that they put on WWE.com was very different than the ones they usually put out. It didn't use his real name. They actually just referred to him as Alberto Del Rio. And they didn't just do the whole wish you well in your future endeavors thing. They actually went out of their way to specify what the guy did. So I don't think it's a work, but there definitely is some odd things about this. This isn't the normal way that people leave the company. And that's the second time this year we've had a really odd departure from the company with a high-profile star.
Well, actually, the last bunch of releases that they've done, they haven't referred to any of them as their real names. Like, they just released Ricardo. And with Ricardo, they didn't say Jesus Rodriguez, just Ricardo Rodriguez. All the people like Drew McIntyre and Emma and all that, you know, it just said WWE has come to terms with the release of Emma or Drew McIntyre. So I think that they've gotten out of that habit. But it is kind of awkward how they said that they were releasing him. It wasn't, we wish him well in his future endeavors. It was just kind of like, yeah, fuck Del Rio.
And they even put this really childish tweet out there that was like, if Alberto Del Rio is responsible for what he does, if you want to be mad at anybody, be mad at Del Rio. I'm like, what?
Yeah, they must be really mad about him.
I mean, if it was a guy in the social media department, it's easy to see how something like that could get posted, but that's just very weird.
What if it was that guy? The guy who got slapped.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it was. Because like, I think he actually was like a head of the division or something like that.
That's crazy. That would be so funny that like he gets slapped and then he just kind of like runs to his tablet and he just like types that out.
Takes like an Instagram of like the handprint on his face.
Right. With like a little, like a selfie of him holding up Del Rio's pink slip. Oh, guys, if you want to call in and talk about the Alberto Del Rio situation or you think that you know the answer, they ask him, and I'm pretty sure that everybody does, call in, give me a little reminder here of the number 760-512-7247, or you can call in at 713-955-0363, or you can call in using Skype, or if you prefer to not call in and you still want to talk to different people, we have that chat room going on the side there. Not many people joining in there, so if you are listening and you want to talk with us, I mean, we got two different options for you, so go ahead, make yourselves known, and throw your voice out there. We want to listen to it. So, with the Del Rio situation, not only is it in a weird way that they released him, but it's also kind of an odd placement that he's been in recently, and I'm kind of curious who is going to move up the ladder, because Del Rio wasn't in the main event spot anymore. Now that they combined the championships, they downgraded him the same as they downgraded Sheamus. But he still actually wasn't like the top guy in the mid-card title scene either, which I've been very thankful for. Because if he would have just immediately won the Intercontinental title or something like that, I would have been really pissed. But now we've got all these different people, the JTGs and the Drew McIntyres and everybody that have been released from the company. And it seemed like we needed to get some more jobbers, but now we've just lost another guy who's been mid-carder, upper mid-carder, lower main event kind of a guy. Who do you think is going to end up bumping themselves up and taking that spot away from that emptiness?
I don't think we're going to see anything different than's already happening, because we already have so many stars on the rise at the moment. You already have your Dolph Ziggler going up. You already have your Miz's stock going up. You already have all three members of the Shield stock going up. I don't think there's a necessity to try to find someone else to fit into a slot like that. I think we already have our next crop of guys being developed. Then, of course, you got guys in the wings as well that whenever you're ready to bring up into something, you can. You know, Heath Slater got a nice shine this Monday night. And even at that Battle Royal at the last pay-per-view they had was fantastic. Fandango, I think, is another guy they can start doing something with once again, has plenty of talent to go all the way. I don't know if they're still going to be doing the tag team of Heath Slater and Titus O'Neil, but that was a great tag team. Tons of tag teams, once again, more time for them to be doing something awesome, more time for the Divas division to get itself bulked back up. I think it's just going to be staying the course as we go forward. Alberto Del Rio is not going to be a bump in this road.
So I think a couple of people could benefit from this pretty well. Fandango is somebody that maybe he'll get a little bit more time now that they have one extra spot that they need to fill.
Is it because of Fandango is a Spanish dance?
Maybe. They're going to start pairing him up with different people like that then.
You could do like the announcers thing in the same way. Fandango! That's it.
I'd be up for that. Fuck. Fandango already has the, you got to let the A's breathe and stuff. Maybe he can let the O's go.
Let the O's go. There you go. That's his face turn catchphrase.
You've got people like Tyson Kidd, who seemed like he was going to be getting a bit of a push from NXT, but hasn't really been put back onto the main rosters yet.
Mm-hmm.
Even to an extent, giving Rusev a little bit more. I hope that they don't do that. But another person that could end up benefiting from this pretty well, if they didn't already kind of have plans to build him up to it, Damian Sandow.
I wouldn't count too much on that.
You still think he's going to be screwed in Jobberland?
I wouldn't say screwed in Jobberland. I mean, I think the guy's got a really good gig right now, but I wouldn't expect him to transition into an upper mid-card guy anytime soon. You know, not anything that's going to be affected because of this.
Maybe not. I kind of hope that he does, because I think that this comedic thing that he's doing, it's already gotten old.
Yeah. It comes and goes depending on the week.
Cesaro's another person. Maybe he'll get back on track.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Since he's really been bad lately.
He's a guy they can bring up to that at any moment at this point. It's just a matter of flipping whatever switch they got to find back there, and he'll be a big, big upper mid-card star.
So let's move on to another topic here.
Wait. We got one more thing we need to address with this Alberto Del Rio situation.
Go for it.
And this of course, started like 10 seconds after news got out that he was being released.
I think I know what you're going to talk about.
And that's apparently that TNA has been going out of their way to search for Alberto Del Rio's phone number. It's not even just that TNA was interested in him. It's that they were searching around asking people for Alberto Del Rio's phone number.
Like it's like a booty call or something. Look, you're down. We're down. You want to, like, you know, mess around a little bit? Like.
You know, maybe like put a little belt on you or something.
Yeah.
You know, you know, if you want to bring a friend, you know, we're cool.
Yeah, but we can't pay for your friend either, so.
Mm-hmm.
How about we keep this on the down low for 90 days?
Oh, you need to come in a car? Geez, is like a Honda Civic okay?
Well, if he did go to TNA, he'd probably be their fucking world champion in like 2 months.
If he came to TNA, I would think he would win the freaking world title on his first night.
Yeah, they might do that. They might be stupid enough to go full on like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be billed as Alberto Rodriguez, too, because they couldn't do the Del Rio name. Either that or he'd try to go with the Dos Caras thing. But, TNA is just so out of it. I can't imagine that they would ever have the money to add anybody to their roster unless they got people for, like, pennies.
I mean, they're in a Hail Mary phase right now, so if they can find it in their budget, I don't think it would be a terrible idea. Who knows what he could do down there? I don't think that I would be specifically changing the channel to go over and see him, but he's a really big name, and I would say at this point he's the hottest free agent.
I know that I wouldn't be changing the channel to see that. That's like no bargaining chip whatsoever in my mind. Oh, we've got Del Rio now? Cool. Still not going to watch it. In fact, now I'm really not going to watch it. Now if he's on a pay-per-view, I might not even watch the pay-per-view.
Hey, you know, Del Rio was a capable wrestler. So if they put him into a company and actually features him as a wrestler, he might be fine.
Yeah, but then they're going to give him the mic. Too. And then, you know, he's going to be like, my name's Alberto Rodriguez, but you already know that.
And hey, and Del Rio should, like, know his way around a six-sided ring.
That's true. That's true. Plus, he had, like, a penchant for being a little bit stiff, from what some reports had said. And TNA loves when people get injured and stuff. So
Okay, sure.
that'll be the reason why they bring him on. Yo, can you fuck this guy up? No, this is just for our own amusement. We don't really care. What are we gonna do? Pay their medical bills? But TNA is also gonna be fucked for another reason. Even if they don't get Del Rio and if it doesn't work out and whatever that happens with that.
What do they do now?
Well, this is not something that they did. This is something that WWE is going to be doing. SmackDown's going to be moving to Thursday nights. So Impact doesn't have like too much long in their contract. I think, what was it, like the beginning of October is the end of it, or September or
I think
something?
it's like the end of October, but yeah, it's before the end of this year.
And they, from what I've seen, from what everybody else has been reporting and everything, they don't have any kind of set deals with anybody else yet either. And of course, we did our thing last episode of the premature death of TNA, already sounding the gong kind of. And it's going to happen, but what's going to make it even worse for them is SmackDown moving to Thursday nights, because there's almost no way that they can compete with SmackDown. And SmackDown's terrible, but people are still going to watch SmackDown over TNA.
Now, was this announced somewhere that SmackDown is moving to Thursday nights?
They actually painted it on the side of their trucks. So I would figure that they wouldn't go through that effort unless they had already planned on it enough. Because
Now,
if it was just like a little report,
wasn't
then
this just one photo that's going around that shows this?
I think that there was one photo that started it all, and then I think people started saying, like, yeah, that's happening. I think Jim Ross even kind of commented on it. I mean, it might not. They could always change their mind. It's not something that, like, they already advertised. Even if they already did advertise it, they could still change their mind. I mean, card's subject to change, and shows get canceled after two episodes when they filmed seven of them. You know, it's crazy stuff, but the move to Thursday nights would help SmackDown. And I don't know if necessarily Friday night is horrible, like one of the worst nights on TV. I know that it's not one of the best.
It's one of the worst.
Monday and Thursday are the two best, and then I think, what, Sunday night?
Monday and Wednesday are actually the best, but Thursday is very close behind.
Wednesday's better?
Thursday was big because of the whole that big CBS lineup they had with like Cheers and then Seinfeld and all that. Or was it ABC? I think it was ABC, not CBS. CBS has the big Thursday night now, I think.
I think it was NBC.
NBC, one of those freaking acronyms. Goddamn Americans and our acronyms. But Friday night and Saturday night are the two worst nights for television. And Thursday night was always a wrestling night to me because of Thunder or SmackDown. When they made the move to Friday, it just never felt real to me. That I never could get myself in a schedule of thinking, oh, it's Friday night, SmackDown is on. If I ever found SmackDown on a Friday night, it was by chance. I was just cable surfing. It's like, oh, hey, SmackDown's on. Maybe I'll watch this for the. The only time I actually have watched SmackDown in the last number of years is back when they were putting it up for free as archive version on their YouTube channel, and they stopped doing that. So I haven't even really gotten a chance to see a SmackDown in a long time. If they bring it back to Thursday nights, I'll dig it, but. I've seen nothing to convince me of this otherwise. I saw this really crummy looking photo of a truck. It had the Usos on it, and it could be real, but I need a little bit more solidifying evidence like that before I buy it. What would that mean for TNA? That would absolutely be a big nail in their coffin, as if they didn't have enough problems. I mean, it could open up more possibilities because being more flexible just to go to another night may help them find another network or a better spot on Spike or whatever it may be. But they wouldn't stay on Thursday nights, that's for freaking sure, whether it means finding another night or just going away completely.
I'm curious how that will end up messing up with the plans with Global Force Wrestling, because if they're shopping around for a network to air their shows, I doubt that they would go with Monday nights. I mean, come on.
No.
Yeah. And there's a possibility that they could try to just aim low and get something like a Sunday night or a Saturday night, or even try to take Friday night's SmackDown spot now.
I would 100% expect them to get like a Sunday 7 o'clock slot.
7 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Not too sure about if I would check that out at that time, because that's, pay-per-views go on there and some other TV shows.
Pay-per-view start at 8.
Yeah, but you gotta be ready for that in the pre-show and everything, too. So we are joined by another member of the Smack Talk team, Sean Walker. What's up, Sean?
Skype can go blow a dick.
I agree. Skype and BTR giving us a little bit of issues. Per normal, if you guys have been checking the Monday Night Raw post show, every Monday night, of course, after Monday Night Raw. We are talking right now about the different schedules that are going on with the possible move of SmackDown going to Thursday nights. What do you think about that, Sean?
Do they record on a Thursday?
Was that?
Don't they record on a Thursday?
No, they record on Tuesdays.
Oh, then win-win. I don't particularly care. I don't watch SmackDown anyways.
Nah, I think a lot of people that really pay attention to wrestling still just don't watch SmackDown.
I used to watch SmackDown, but then I stopped watching SmackDown when they got rid of the fist.
For that reason specifically, or
No, but that's the last time I remember watching it is when John Cena come out saying, "Oh, look, you still got the fist here, guys," and that was the last episode of SmackDown I remember watching. So yeah.
I think the last episode that I watched, other than a sporadic one here and there, was the first episode of the 3 hour Raws. And that week I was just like, you know what? I can't watch 3 hours of Raw, NXT or whatever it was at the time. I think it might have been NXT Redemption or something, which was just god awful. And I can't watch the other extra crap they want me to watch on YouTube and whatever, and SmackDown. I gotta cut something here, and I ended up cutting it all except for Raw.
Oh, you'll watch Total Divas, though.
Hey, Total Divas is actually much more entertaining. I'd much rather watch a marathon of Total Divas than 3 episodes of SmackDown.
There's a lot more action in Total Divas than there is on SmackDown nowadays.
The biggest problem with SmackDown as of late has been repeating matches. They'll have the same match either on Raw from the previous edition of Raw, or they'll have the rematch on the following edition of Raw. So if you watch both shows, you're gonna get really burnt out of seeing the same matches a lot.
Yeah, that's true. And the matches don't matter too. So if it was like maybe somebody on Monday Night Raw had like a title match and it ended in a disqualification, and they said, you know what, we're gonna redo this match on SmackDown, and it's gonna be a no disqualification match, and if the person doesn't like they try to get out of it or something like that, they're gonna be stripped of the title. Then maybe I'd watch it, because maybe I'd want to know if the title's going to change hands, but it's also hurting them that they tape it ahead of time, because Tuesday nights come along and, smark out moment. We got coverage of main event. We got the spoilers of SmackDown. All I got to do is read the spoilers, and then I don't need to watch SmackDown later on the week.
They should never rejoin the brands, in my opinion. SmackDown should have been a separate brand to Raw and just kept the split between them.
They didn't have enough people to do that anymore. It was nice when you had that big, lush roster, but there you couldn't spread the guys that they had and have two credible world champions and all that. I mean, that world heavyweight title was just a complete joke the last number of years it was separate.
Yeah, I agree. You got to look at like the people that are out there now. If you split that between the roster that's going on, we'd have, World Heavyweight Champion Heath Slater and stuff like we were kind of joking about
I don't know
before.
about Heath Slater, but
Cody
freaking.
Rhodes would have held it.
Well, he didn't for all the years that it was there.
With now Del
Maybe
Rio being
eventually.
gone,
Well, with now Del Rio being gone, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but now Del Rio be going, everybody will get a chance because he was the only one who freaking held it for years. Maybe that's why they want to move to Thursday nights. They're like, oh crap, we don't have Del Rio anymore. Well, now we could just like actually do something with SmackDown.
It does actually raise a question. I guess we're still in Del Rio. Who's going to be their Spanish star now? I mean, you got Rey Mysterio is pretty much done, if not completely done. Del Rio's gone. Sin Cara was a bust. They're always talking about that coveted Spanish market, but who are they going to advertise with that now?
Well, another thing that has been going around this week is that they really want to bring up, they've said this for the longest time, so it's not a surprise, the Ascension. Charlotte might be hot-shotted into the main event, not the main event, the main roster, but also Kalisto, out of all people.
Yeah.
So maybe they're going to try to make Kalisto in that Rey Mysterio, Sin Cara spot that didn't really necessarily happen with anybody else. I don't see it. I mean, Kalisto is fine to me, but I don't see him being some kind of a megastar.
Well, we haven't seen anywhere near what the whole capabilities of Kalisto are. I'm very much looking forward to him having some really exciting matches with people. I think the thing that will especially help Kalisto is if he's part of that same quote-unquote new breed of people that we're going to be having going through these next few years, like the all three Shield guys, all the other people that they've just signed, like Steen and Kenta and Fergie, whatever his name is.
Fergal, I think.
The future is very bright, and if they want to make Kalisto the Spanish center of that, I think that could work out very well. He is kind of short, but so is Rey Mysterio, and it's questionable whether Rey Mysterio would have ever been as big of a star as he was if that whole Eddie thing didn't go down, but I think he would have been close.
And if that doesn't pan out, just slap a gimp mask on Darren Young and happy days.
Well, you know what? If they do bring Kalisto onto the main roster, I don't want to see him as a single star yet. I think that they should tag him up with Sin Cara. We could use another tag team. And if they make one of them a breakout star, maybe that would actually help Sin Cara out. But at the very least, it would help get kids to pay a little bit of attention to Kalisto out of nowhere.
Like an RKO.
There's Kalisto out of nowhere.
Just like a random match, like he just appears out of nowhere, does some cool move, and then disappears. That would be a great way to debut somebody. Just have him pop in like Spider-Man.
Like he just like pops out from behind the Titantron or something,
yeah,
like that.
How great would that be? Like the heels are going to like do some dastardly thing in the match, like pull out a weapon, or they're trying to do a walkout spot or something, and then Kalisto just appears to save the day and then disappears as quickly as he appeared.
That actually would be really cool. I'd be down for that.
Yeah,
didn't Rey Mysterio debut like that though, in a cage match or something or other? I'm positive I saw Mysterio debuted.
I don't remember. I thought like he had like a big pomp and circumstance walkout debut. Like they're like, Rey Mysterio's coming. Oh my God, there's Rey Mysterio. Yeah.
I know he had a match, and then later on the night, then I think it was during an Edge match in a cage match, Rey Mysterio popped out and sprinted up the cage like Spider-Man. Positive it was Rey Mysterio.
Could have been. Rey Mysterio is like Spider-Man. Tony, is this ringing a bell to you?
No, not at all. I wasn't watching it at the time that they brought in a lot of WCW guys.
Hmm.
Which annoys the crap out of me to this day, because for the longest time, you know, everybody back when our age bracket were kids and stuff, we were just like, dude, if they could cross over WWF and WCW, it would be so great. And I stopped watching, and it was like a year later or something like that, they did it. And I was just like, fuck you. Like, I overheard it after it had already happened. I distanced myself enough from wrestling that I had no idea what was going on. And then other people are like, yeah, talking about Booker T and WWF, and I'm like, Booker T's not in WWF, he's in WCW. And they're like, no, WCW doesn't exist anymore. It's just WWF. And I'm like, fuck. I couldn't have stayed on just long enough to do that.
You were like that clueless that you didn't even know WCW went out of business?
Yeah, I just distanced myself entirely from it. I got too tired of The Rock and Stone Cold for every little thing. So I was just like, you know what? Not going to watch it. Not going to listen to anything. Nobody that I had talked to that I was friends with that liked wrestling before were paying any attention to it. So nobody brought it up as like, I know that you're not watching it anymore, but there was this great match. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it just went completely dead, like, in the middle of seventh grade. Out of nowhere.
And you're not fed up with John Cena yet.
I actually kind of like John Cena. I'll give him a lot more credit than a lot of people do. I mean,
Oh, here we go.
I'm not going to...
Let's start talking about John Cena. Let's fucking go down this rabbit hole.
Why not? Callers, if you want to call in and talk about John Cena, because it'll happen, 760-512-7247 or 713-955-0363 or Skype is the three different options that you can call in and bitch about John Cena. Or defend him, too, because we've also gotten people that have commented on past episodes of Smack Talk where I've had the same mentality for the longest time for Cena. He's not my favorite. He's not the most entertaining. But at the same time, I still think he deserves more credit than a lot of people give him. But somebody commented the other day on, like, a, I don't know, episode 38 or something like that. And they were flipping out because we said something negative about John Cena.
An emotional topic for people.
Right.
Yeah. So I said we got to be careful going down that road. But I want to pull something here. We got Wig Meister in the chat room. And he actually is confirming what Sean said. Mysterio dived off a steel cage onto the un-American stable after an Edge versus Chris Jericho match.
Ah, so you're right. Mysterio pulling off a Spider-Man thing.
So we had a Mexican attacking a bunch of Canadians.
In America.
Yeah.
Most likely in America. I don't think that they were somewhere else necessarily at the time, but
I would have to imagine they were in California.
Yeah, probably.
If you don't debut Rey in California, that'd be a mistake.
It's like middle of like Montana or something like that.
Oh, maybe it was in fucking, what's that terrible city? Sioux City, Iowa?
Yeah, Sioux City. They're like, hey guys, it's Rey Mysterio. And it's a whole bunch of Todd Grishams in the crowd. They're like, cool.
It's Rey Mysterio.
Oh, look at that. It's Rey. Rey Mysterio. Who's that walking down the ramp? R-E-Y. Mysterio.
That's actually what the original theme music sounded like. Right. It's about as enthusiastic as that.
Yeah, that wasn't really that great. Although I still hate Booyaka. I'm not a fan of that at all. It's a little catchy, but...
It's more bombastic, which fits Rey more than that first one did.
I think that I would like it more if I just liked Rey more.
Yeah, that has a lot to do with it, too. Yeah, I used to like Rey's original entrance, though, when he jumped out through the stage.
Yeah.
That always boggled my mind when I saw that. I loved anything where people came through the stage, especially the Brood.
Oh, the Brood was so good. Well, they weren't.
I think it's a very underrated entrance. Like, when people talk about the greatest entrances of all time, I don't know why the Brood isn't brought up more, because that was so badass.
I don't know if I'd put it in top 10, but I'd definitely put it in top 25.
Dude, man. The three of them came up through a ring of fire. Like, Edge and Christian are just creeping around with their vampire teeth, and then Gangrel takes a sip from the goblet and then spits the freaking blood in the air. He did that shit before Triple H. Triple H stole his shit. Spit in the water, but he did it with blood.
Triple H is just sitting backstage. He doesn't have the pull yet. He's just like, you motherfucker. I want to do that.
Now we know how Gangrel got canned.
Yeah, because he stole Triple H's gimmick that he wanted. So he was actually going to be Gangrel. He stole the game name from him, too.
Right.
So let's throw a little mailbag question in here. We've got some questions some people had sent in for the past month, or our monthly mailbag little segment that we usually do.
Oh, did we get Sean's opinion about Del Rio?
No, I want to go back to that a little bit later, though.
Okay.
We've got a couple from Watchman King 67. Number one, what are your opinions of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and what are your favorite matches and wrestlers? I really have no opinion. I've never watched anything of New Japan. I don't know any of the wrestlers there or anything, so blank answer for me. What do you guys think, Sean?
Tensai. Yeah.
Jason Alberts. He actually announced that he's done wrestling today, like, officially.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about New Japan, Peyton?
I think it's a fine promotion. Can't say I follow it with enough degree to know what the heck is going on over there, or even know who many of the guys are, because I can't understand what the announcers are saying. But anytime I'm just, you know, browsing around YouTube and I see a video from them, I'll usually try checking out and seeing what's over there. And I'm generally impressed with whatever I see, but I just don't have the attention span to follow more than one major company deeply in with what's going on. And of course that's going to be number one, WWE. I don't care what anyone else says.
Oh, you be talking about WWE is not number one. Come on now. They're like a distant three, right?
Depending on what country you're in, maybe like Kenya or something.
Well, one of the people who writes for Smark Out Moment, Oliver Court, he actually is a huge fan of New Japan, and I asked him his opinion about this to kind of offset the fact that I don't know jack shit about it. And he said, I'm going to quote what he sent me, "New Japan Pro Wrestling is my favorite promotion right now, since it focuses on the actual wrestling rather than talking or backstage stuff, and the wrestlers really deliver on every show.
They also have a lot of potential to grow a Western fan base thanks to the Bullet Club. My three favorite New Japan wrestlers are Ishii, Nakamura, and Ibushi, and any match with them is a must-see for me. So I should check out those guys if they're getting the rub from Oliver there. Oliver knows his stuff. And something else that Watchman King asked us, opinions on the Prince Devitt signing. We kind of talked about that a little bit on one of the hot tags recently of Prince Fergal Devitt. But I'm not too familiar with him, so I don't really have an opinion. But if WWE has faith in him, then cool. Hopefully he'll be a big star. Any opinions you guys have on Joel Fergal?
Did you say Prince Fugu?
Fergal Devitt is his name, apparently.
Fiji?
Fugu.
Naga.
Fondue.
Fondue. He's
Franklin.
Double team with Fandango.
Oh, hopefully not. I mean, we talked about it. I again, only have a cursory knowledge of the guy and what he's done. He's stuck out, you know, from a sea of people. So I'm interested to see what he's got and bring him to the big stage. Let's see what he's got. I mean, like I said, we got a big crop of guys that's going to be coming up soon. And if he's going to have to fight to make himself stand out from that crowd, I think he's got the guns, though. So let's see what he's got.
Do you know anything really about Prince Devitt, Sean? Have you ever
never heard of him?
Never even heard of him? Yep. Now you have. Fergal.
Yep. Fugu.
Fergie.
Fernum. another question from Watchman King here. If you could tag with anyone in the wrestling world, who would it be? What would your name be? And what would your tag finisher be?
Oh, God.
So I threw a little joke reference out there. I said that I should tag with Carlito because we could do some kind of an apple and mango combination. But in all seriousness, I would never, ever, ever be a wrestler because I would be so terrible at it. So if I had to and if they wanted to make sure that the fans didn't hate it so much, I'd have to tag with somebody like Mr. Perfect to do all the work for me. And my little pun of a name would be perfectly adequate. You could tell which one's which. And our finisher would just be Hennig doing the Perfect Plex while I, like, bash somebody with a chair or something like that. That's all I could really do. Just distract a referee or something. I don't know. What would your tag partner be in your tag team and all that other kind of stuff, Sean?
I'd have to pick Summary. Our tag team name would be the Midnight Slammers. And our finishing move would be called the Happy Ending.
That sounds like a plan. Peyton, what would yours be?
Oh my gosh, I can't come up with anything near as cool as those. I guess I would pick Brock Lesnar as a tag team partner, and our name would be Beef Squatch.
Beef Squatch.
It's a Bob's Burgers reference. Anyone gets that one? And the finishing move would be Brock Lesnar doing an F5, and I will do a Superfly Splash.
Superfly.
Another
question from Watchman King. If there was an Ultimate Royal Rumble with only the winners of all the past Royal Rumbles, who would be in the final four? Who would be the Iron Man, the final two, and who wins it?
Gosh.
So, on the spot, you got to think of it.
Yeah, right? Like, I thought the last one was hard to think of on the spot. Let's see you come up with a witty answer for this one, Sean.
So I'll give you guys a little bit of time to think about that and run down what I had planned out beforehand. There's a lot of people that would be great at this Royal Rumble that have won it in the past. Bret Hart would be somebody who would be very fun to watch at this. Batista is pretty good at Royal Rumbles. Triple H has done well in them in the past. He's won one of them, of course, or else he wouldn't be on this list. And if I had to pick all those different stipulations there, the final four for me would be John Cena, Hulk Hogan, Shawn Michaels, and Stone Cold Steve Austin. They're the four guys that have won more than one that I think really deserve to be in that, because Batista doesn't necessarily qualify. My Iron Man would be HBK, and just a little bit extra, I would have started him off with Ric Flair, who would also last until kind of maybe around the final 10. Just to play off the idea that they're both, you know, Ric Flair was the 60-minute man for a while, Shawn Michaels went the distance, that kind of a thing. And in true Shawn Michaels fashion, he would work his ass off, make the match what it is, and then lose. Because Shawn Michaels very rarely ended up coming out on top at the end of the big important things like this. So, rather than having a final two, I think that this is how it would go down. You'd have Hogan, Cena, and Austin in the ring. And Hogan and Cena would be doing their whole I'm going to match strength with you kind of a thing. And Austin, being the dick that he is, would just kind of pick them both up, dump them over the edge like an asshole, and win. Austin's won more Royal Rumbles than anybody else, and he did so in some ways kind of like that. I mean, the 1997 Royal Rumble win, he lost it and still ended up winning and being deceptive like that. So I got to give a hat tip to Austin here. He probably would come out on top. And if this was in the heyday of everybody, as much as Hogan was a bigger name in my mind than Austin at his highest peak, you got to think back to Hogan losing the one Royal Rumble with Sid. That's the thing that makes me call Austin as the winner here. So, Peyton, who is your Royal Rumble winner and all that other jazz?
Okay. So I just threw this together in my head really quick, but I think I kind of like it. So the Iron Man, I would give to Shawn Michaels as well. He's definitely the workhorse of those kinds of matches, or any kind of match that he's in. They call Ric Flair the 60-minute man, but he's usually boring. As opposed to Shawn Michaels, you put him in there in a long match, and he usually keeps it exciting for most of it. My final four would be John Cena, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Hulk Hogan, and The Undertaker. The way they would get eliminated was first Austin and Hogan actually would get into some kind of personal beef with each other where they actually like get so pissed at each other they just start throwing fists at each other and eventually get themselves both eliminated, whether they just topple themselves over or Undertaker catches them while they're not paying attention, whatever it may be. Both of them get eliminated, but they don't even care. They're so pissed off at each other, they keep beating each other up all the way to the back, setting up a grudge match for them at that WrestleMania, leaving John Cena and The Undertaker in the ring to battle for who would win this one. And I think in the end, it would be John Cena getting the victory over The Undertaker. But, you know, it was a fluke. It was a quick victory, and it's not truly beating The Undertaker. So John Cena, rather than going for a title with his Royal Rumble victory, would cash it in to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania, giving us that one really believable, well, I guess the streak doesn't matter anymore, but when there was still an aura about beating The Undertaker at WrestleMania, would have been a great opponent to have gone into that with.
I'd be down for that. You get two huge matches that really you kind of almost can't compare to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what other matches are going to be on the same level as that? Shawn Michaels versus The Rock?
I guess I'm stuck in that mentality of where Royal Rumble, as much as I love it, it is the setup for WrestleMania. So whenever I think of ways to put out Royal Rumble, it should always be leading up into WrestleMania in some way. Which is why I was so pissed we didn't get, Big Show and Kevin Nash? When they looked at each other when he was on his way out?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, it seemed like they were going to be doing that. Mark out moment.
Yeah, exactly.
What would you do with this ultimate Royal Rumble of winners, Sean?
Well, Iron Man, like you guys said, is going to be Shawn Michaels. Final four would be Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Vince McMahon, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan. You got to have the first ever winner of the Royal Rumble in there somewhere. Come on. And how it would go is Jim Duggan and Shawn Michaels eliminate each other, thus leaving Triple H and Vince McMahon in the ring as the final two. Stephanie comes down and screws Triple H, leading towards Triple H versus Vince McMahon at WrestleMania for the WWE. And the winner is, I don't know, certainly not the fans. That's
keep
for
us
sure.
On the end of our seats, man.
Yep. The winner is Linda. There we go.
So those are the questions sent in from Watchmen King. We have some other questions for some other people here. Joshua Ellis, deviating from wrestling a little bit. sending us this question. My top five drama TV series would be True Detective, Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, The Shield, and The Sopranos. What are your thoughts and reviews on those shows? I actually have only seen one episode of The Sopranos and no episodes of any of the other ones, so I have no opinion on that either. Just the same as the New Japan Pro Wrestling one. So I'm failing this episode of the monthly mailbag. Now, Peyton, I know that you're a huge Game of Thrones fan. Obviously, Sand and Snow podcast on FanboysAnonymous.com covers that. But out of these other shows, too, do you watch any of them? Do you like any of them or hate them?
What were the shows again?
True Detective.
No.
Breaking Bad.
No.
The Shield.
I thought they broke up.
And The Sopranos.
No. Yeah, no, none of these really seemed like my bag. I'm very tough to get into TV shows. I'm more of a movie guy because you sit down and you watch a movie and it's done in one sitting. Television shows, I like sitcoms where you can just kind of like pick up an episode, watch it, enjoy it, and that's it. But when they have these extending storylines where it's really a commitment to watch a show, I very, very rarely get into them. Game of Thrones is, of course, a very huge one for me. I love Game of Thrones. As Tony mentioned, I do another podcast, which is like pretty much one of the only podcasts I do that's not wrestling-related, called the Sand and Snow Podcast on FanboysAnonymous.com. It's really only active during the seasons, but we do an episode reviewing every single episode. So if you want to hear my in-depth thoughts about Game of Thrones, go and check that one out. Otherwise, just quick thoughts about it. Love it. This past season was fantastic. I'm super excited for everything going on next season, especially for seeing Arya go to Braavos. I'm excited to see what happens in the North. I mean, Jon Snow is one of my favorite characters. Happy Stannis made his way up there. Super excited to see more White Walkers. Can't wait for all that stuff. But Arrow is another fantastic show. I think you should definitely check out if you're into television shows. Arrow is fantastic. Other than that, I can't get into those shows. I'm more of like a South Park guy. Like Bob's Burgers. I made my Bob's Burgers joke earlier. I'll get into those, but TV's not for me. Big movie guy. I've seen two movies in theaters the last couple weeks, actually, with Guardians of the Galaxy and TMNT. Guardians was awesome. TMNT, not so much. Quick reviews on those. And there's the world of entertainment in the eyes of Mike Payton.
Sean, do you watch any of these shows or like or hate them or anything?
I've seen several episodes of True Detective because I went around my maid's house one time for our house party and we started watching that before the house party started. Woody Harrelson, isn't it? He plays Martin Hart, I think, and it was really good. I enjoyed it, so I downloaded the series. I haven't got into it yet. Breaking Bad, I tried to get into, failed. Game of Thrones is Lord of the Rings without the ring and incest, and I haven't heard of the other two.
We have some questions from Andre Rosa, and these are deviating from wrestling as well. And then, of course, after that, we'll get back into a little bit more wrestling talk with some more hot tags and everything. Number one, do you think life is predestined, or do we have our own destinies that we make up? I'm not sure. Of course I'm not sure. I mean, I don't have all the answers and stuff, but sometimes something happens that makes me think that's way too much of a coincidence and it had to happen that way. But then other times it seems like it had to happen that way because that's just logically what happens. So I'm too afraid to put any trust in the idea that there is some kind of a plan, but it'd be nice to have that as a safety net. So, I don't know. I wouldn't go either of the extremes. I kind of just play the field and see what happens. What do you think, Peyton?
Let me get this clear. This person wants to know if we believe in fate?
Basically, yeah.
That's a loaded question. I believe that fate can exist, but I do not believe that there's someone controlling it. I'll put it that way.
More of karma than religion?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, you get what you give, but it's not that, you know, there's this scroll with your name on it and all the plans and all that other kind of stuff.
Correct.
What do you think, Sean? Is there already a plot that you're following, or do you make it up on your own?
if I'm following a plot, is pretty fucking shit.
Oh, that's so depressing.
Fuck it now. And if it is, if I am creating my own destiny, well, I've got fucking shit luck. That's all I can fucking say.
Sean, maybe you live in a comedy.
Probably.
Oh my god, I love that movie so much. Stranger Than Fiction is something that everybody has to go watch. Stop listening to this and rewatch it later on.
Watch it later.
Another question from Andre Rosa here. What is the best and worst advice that you've ever been given?
Oh, goodness.
I would say the worst advice is all the times that I've been stressed out and people have tried to tell me that I should just do drugs. Oh, man, yeah, that really sucks. You know what you should do instead? You should just, like, start doing drugs. And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen. Like, I'm pretty sure that leads to more problems and not success. So for all the times that you are run down because, I don't know, like, work's getting you down, you need more money, or, you know, your love life's messed up or something like that, yeah, that's not good advice to just, like, you know, pick up a coke habit or something. Best advice, I would say, is people telling me not to sell myself short and to give myself more credit, because whenever I am doubting myself, I tend to screw up more, and whenever I'm confident, I tend to do better. So that's something that I try to keep in mind. Best and worst advice that you've ever gotten that you can think of, Payden?
I can't think of this shit on the spot.
Nothing in general that people try to get you to do that is terrible advice or anything like that? Like, maybe not the worst, but some bad advice?
People tell me that I should go to bars to meet women, and the problem is the women at bars are not the kind of women I want
to
meet.
That's a good topic to bring up. Yeah, that's true. Well, how else are you going to meet women? I don't know, through any
other
activity?
That's fucking right, dude. There's no other way to meet fucking women. So it's like, I don't know what else to say in response, but it's like, I don't want to meet the fucking women at bars. I've been there, done that. It's not the place.
What's some good advice that you've been given over the years?
I don't know. Don't eat the yellow snow. Don't spit. Don't spit in the wind.
What about you, Sean? Any really particularly good or bad advice that people have given you?
Oh God, I've got lots of worst advice, but the one that stands out in my mind is when I was a kid, my dad always said, "Walk away from a fight," which I did. And then as I was walking away from the fight, the dude who started scrapping with me turned me around and caved my face in. And he broke his hand on my face. That's how hard he punched me. But yeah.
That's good advice then. You won.
Well, no, I didn't win. I couldn't see for fucking days.
Yeah, but you didn't even do anything and you still broke his hand.
He broke my face. So I think he won.
Sean had his hard face.
And the best advice I would probably give anybody is there's no love without the glove.
Question number two or three or whatever, I've lost track here. What did you want to do as a career growing up, and how does it compare to what you're doing now? I never really had a set plan from when I was a kid. I actually stupidly, and I don't remember why, but supposedly when people had asked me when I was really, really little, I don't know what age, said I wanted to be a house when I grew up. Not a carpenter. Not that I wanted to build houses. I wanted to be a house. That shows you how stupid I was as a little kid. But yeah, I watched Power Rangers, so I wanted to be a karate expert. Yeah, that never fucking happened. I never took a single karate class. I wanted to be a scientist because I was into planets and different science stuff. And eventually I got to the point where I realized that science is not my deal, because even though some of that stuff is cool, I don't actually like doing the math and all that work. Then I just kind of stopped thinking about it for years. So I came to a point where I decided I wanted to be in the entertainment industry and thought maybe I would want to be a director. Then I thought maybe I'd want to be just an actor, then a writer. And I'm in a spot right now where I know that my strengths are in what I'm doing, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. The only thing I would trade it for is more money. So I love what I do right now, and I think that's what I'm supposed to be doing. So even though I'm not a house, that's okay. What did you want to do as a kid, Payden?
I mean, besides wanting to be like a Ninja Turtle,
Right.
the first actual profession I wanted to be was a weatherman.
I could see you being a weatherman.
Yeah, and I thought they'd all be a weatherman because the weatherman was always the kooky guy on the news crew.
Yeah, Hurricane Schwartz and stuff.
And Mr. G or whatever his name was. They're always cool. Then when as I got older, I really wanted to be a musician and some type of artist, basically. And I've always just basically maintained myself as some form of an artist throughout those years, or a performance artist or something in that realm.
What about you, Sean? When you were a kid, what did you think that you wanted to grow up to be?
When I was a kid, I always wanted to be a soccer player. And I pursued that, and I got scouted, and the club that wanted me asked me and my mum if it would be okay to be held back a year in school. And we said that wasn't going to happen, so that failed. Then I focused on my swimming, where I could have been an Olympic swimmer for Wales, Team Wales. That fell through because I was too lazy and I just couldn't be bothered to keep up with the schedule of of the sport. And then I wanted to be a firefighter. That kind of fell through because I'm afraid of fire.
That's kind of a big commitment to it.
You can't be afraid of something, And then as I grew older, towards the end of high school, I wanted to be a web designer, IT programmer, so I pursued that in college, got my qualifications, and I've been a bum ever since.
Like, imagine the first day with a firefighting job, and there's a fire, and you're just like, oh, no, fuck this shit. And everyone, what are you gonna do here? Oh, stand back. It's cool. I'll drive the fucking
I just
truck.
always wanted to use the jaws of life, you know?
Yeah,
That's the sort of firefighter I wanted to be, but then you have to conquer fire, and it's like, that's not for me.
just bottom of the
I
trucks of
don't do
life.
heat, so yeah.
And our last mailbag question that was sent in, this is also from Andre Rosa. Which do you think is the worst of the seven deadly sins? Greed, by far. Everything else, there's some kind of a way that maybe it can be justified. Lust is just taking it too far. Pride is good, as long as you don't take it too far. Sloth, that's not really that great, but it's not gonna really harm too many people. Envy is gonna do more damage to yourself. And wrath, I mean, sometimes, as bad as it is, sometimes wrath is necessary, but greed is the thing that corrupts everybody. The reason we have a bad world is because of greed, in my mind. Peyton, worst of the seven deadly sins?
Well, I'm going to say it's pride, because pride leads to greed. You don't start getting greedy unless you have a sense of pride of yourself. Pretty much all the things that happen in the world is because of someone who's so proud and believes he's entitled or deserves something, or believes that he's superior to someone else. That's where all those things come from. So I'm definitely going to have to go with pride.
What do you think, Sean?
This is a deep, deep question, and one of the other ones that you two guys haven't said, I'll go with sloth.
Even know what that means?
Nope.
Do
It's
you know
several
it's an
animals.
animal? Yeah. It's a meme. That's all he knows.
The whispering sloth meme is so ridiculous.
The only sloth I know is Sid the Sloth from Ice Age Giant.
That's a
So,
good one.
isn't that who does that voice? Is that John Leguizamo, or is that a different character?
Didn't know John Leguizamo was a character in Ice Age.
Is he? Doesn't he
I have
voice a
no idea.
character?
Oh, he might voice a character. I didn't know he like was a character.
He might as well be. That's what they should do. They should have like a woolly mammoth and a saber-toothed tiger and John Leguizamo. And he's just kind of like, yeah, I existed back here too. You don't think I evolved from nothing, right? We're gonna get back into some wrestling talk here, guys. And if you want to direct the conversation towards any particular topic, call in 760-512-7625. 7247-713-955-0363 or Skype are the three different options that you have there. There's still time to call in before we shut this episode off. Something else that we had mentioned earlier, I want to get Sean's opinion about this. Del Rio's release. We mentioned how we're kind of happy about it. And we think that maybe there's a chance that some people can move up, but maybe not necessarily that'll happen anytime soon. What do you think's the repercussions of this, and what do you think about Del Rio's release?
Del Rio's release, all I can say is I finally fucking won. Del Rio is gone. I'm over the moon. I was so happy. You were watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles when the news broke, which was devastating for me because I wanted to share and bask in the glory with someone. But who I think is going to step up to the plate? I reckon Dolph Ziggler's going to do it. I reckon they're going to start rebuilding Ziggler to the caliber of Del Rio. It's just the only way forward. If not Ziggler, then they should, I don't know, focus on someone else who's talented in WWE, which is probably Cody Rhodes is probably up there with Dolph Ziggler at the moment. And those are the only two guys that come to my mind.
What do you think about the idea that they might bring up Kalisto in his spot?
Honestly, I don't know who that is.
He's the one masked guy that's in NXT. He was teaming with Ricardo for a little bit when he was El Local.
I stopped watching NXT when it stopped being aired.
Oh, you haven't seen the NXT type?
No. We used to get the NXT, the wrestling NXT over here, but then when it went to the network, it sort of died out, and I keep missing it on television. Because they changed the time slot. So, there's no way I'm staying up till fucking 2 o'clock in the morning to fucking watch NXT, you know what I'm saying? Fuck that shit. I want to know when Corey Graves is getting a fucking push.
He's going to get a push out the door.
I put him as my one to watch this year, and he's done fuck all.
He's done gotten a freaking secondary concussion is what he's done.
Yeah, but at the end of the year, he's going to go crazy. Like the last 2 weeks of December, he's going to win every championship. So there's one other big thing that I had came across, then we'll see if there's any other things you guys had came across to mention for this episode, and that's WWE might be dropping that new Nation of Domination stable already. Big E and Kofi Kingston were not teaming up together in any capacity, and they were working as babyfaces over the recent tour. That could just be over the tour because they maybe just said, you know what, this is still fresh and you guys need to be babyfaces because we don't have anybody to fill that spot. But Big E lost to Rusev, and I don't know who Kofi ended up wrestling. I hope that that's not the case. I don't want them to give up on this yet. But it is a little weird that they weren't on Monday Night Raw. And I don't know why that's the case, but they haven't given them any traction yet. So if they pull the plug, that's ridiculous. Why even bother at that point, you know? What do you think about that, Peyton? Do you have any fears about this? If it does get pulled, are you kind of just, meh, okay, I don't really give a shit?
I have no opinions.
Nothing positive or negative about this new stable?
We didn't even get to know them. They didn't even say anything. Like, Xavier Woods came out and said, like, three lines 1 week. And then, like, they stood ringside for a match. Like, I was intrigued, but, like, I'm not, like, hurt. It's not like I had something awesome shown to me and it disappeared. You know, they start and stop things all the freaking time. It just is what it is.
What do you think about this, Sean?
Well, first things first, I am surprised that Rusev beat Big E Langston when Rusev was in my kitchen this morning. But Nation of Domination. I really wanted to see the stable work because I like story-driven elements of the WWE. Like, if it's like a big story, like a long, drawn-out story, But this canon it so early is a bit disappointing if they do. But it's a fucking tour. You know, you don't, championships switch hands all the time on a fucking tour. Nobody fucking knows about it until, like, fucking they declare on Raw or something.
I'm like, still hopeful that we're going to get something out of this.
What, the tour or the fucking stable?
The stable.
Oh, yeah, I want the stable to work. I tell you. You should domination. It gives Mark Henry something to do as well.
Yeah, it's true. There was a rumor going around that he was going to be joining it, and they didn't do anything with that yet.
Well, he should join it. He was in the original fucking Domination, wasn't he?
I don't know if they're going to go with a Nation to Domination name. I think that they're going to do something different. But I think that
yeah,
they're...
but everybody's going to say it's the Nation, so they might as well just fucking go within it.
Maybe the Black Cats.
All Black College Football.
There's just, like, the social media guy that made the Hispanic joke that pissed Del Rio off is, like, on the case right now to think of anything that can piss off the new Nation. It's not like they haven't done that kind of stuff in the past.
I wonder if they got disbanded because of Michael Hayes.
Maybe. He's got extra time on his hands now that Rose is left. Doing her own thing.
What if they stopped it because of this whole Del Rio situation? Like, maybe they didn't want to, like, come under the radar of being really racist, and then, like, people are checking out their show and see this whole Black Panther thing going on.
If they do,
you got Lana and Rusev, who's being, like, just, like, fucking downright fucking racist at, like, everybody who isn't Russian.
They need to lose, by the way.
Oh, they gotta lose.
We'll talk about that next week a little bit more when we start talking about the SummerSlam predictions and everything. Those are the topics.
SummerSlam's next week?
Yeah, I think so. Isn't it?
Oh, fucking hell.
I'm pretty sure it's next Sunday.
Yeah, not tomorrow Sunday, but the following.
Right, yeah.
There hasn't been any build, though.
No, you're right. It does not feel like it's SummerSlam next week.
All of our fears that we were saying before that SummerSlam is going to be like a B show and that they spent more building up Battleground and that they're going to spend more building up Night of Champions, it completely came to a head. SummerSlam is a bore this year.
I still reckon they should just scrap Money in the Bank and just do it for SummerSlam. At least then, it's something to do for SummerSlam.
If you're going to put on a show, I would do it on WrestleMania. But cutting pay-per-views, I agree with that anywhere.
So I like Money in the Bank as a pay-per-view. I think you could still do that. I just think that they need to cut out Hell in a Cell, and they need to cut out TLC, and they need to... spread it around, and it's only once per month.
So I'm looking at the SummerSlam card. There's a lot of gimmicks on this card.
Well, which ones have gimmicks? It's Dean Ambrose. Right.
Yeah, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose is apparently a lumberjack match now.
Yeah.
What the hell's with that?
Why didn't he make it for the fucking briefcase?
Maybe that'll happen in Night of Champions. I don't know.
Fucking logic.
Or maybe they'll never do it. Maybe they'll just dangle it in front of our faces and never do it. Well, the flag match between Rusev and Swagger, and Wyatt versus Jericho has Harper and Rowan banned from ringside, whatever that means.
That means Bray Wyatt will win. I guess then it makes it seem like Jericho has to win. So, is there anything else that happened this week in wrestling that you guys wanted to bring out there, Sean?
I'm positive Rey Mysterio retired. I swear down. I read it somewhere. I know I fucking read it somewhere. But
he read it in my plans.
But other than that, I haven't heard fuck all. Apparently TNA is supposed to be close to signing a new TV deal with Spike. Apparently. The talks are progressing. That's what I've heard. But then again, that could be with the same article where everybody wrote Rey Mysterio, so.
You're like in like a half sleep daze, and those are the two things you think of instead.
Yeah. Which is a real shame, because I want to see TNA just go just so fucking Derek Bateman could just fucking jump ship back to WWE.
What about you, Peyton? Anything that caught your attention this week in wrestling?
One thing I thought was pretty cool is there's a painter by the name of Rob Schamberger, who, if you haven't seen his work, I highly suggest it. He's been on this project to paint every single world champion wrestler in the history of it. And he just started this as a small outfit out of his house, but his popularity has grown tremendously. He actually gets a lot of his work featured with WWE now. They auction some of his work off on their WWE shop mini site. He gets them signed by the wrestlers backstage. He's made a really good working relationship with them. They have YouTube videos featuring his work. They announced that he's going to be doing a live painting at the SummerSlam panels, which is, I guess, going to be their dumbed-down version of Access that they're having for SummerSlam. I think that's awesome. I just wanted to give a shout-out to that Rob Schamberger guy, because if you haven't seen his work, it's one of those guys who deserves to be supported. At least go and check out his stuff. I have two pieces of his work hanging above my desk, actually. One of CM Punk, one of The Undertaker. I got them for my birthday from a couple of friends. Great gift that I got from them. I love them. They look fantastic there. So go and check him out, Mr. Rob Schamberger.
Is he related to Dr. Hanukkah Burger or Dr. Vodka Burger?
Yeah. Yeah, they're all related.
All the burgers, yeah.
That's how he got hooked up into wrestling.
Yeah, you got the whole Yokozuna Rock family connection. You've got the Harts. You've got
the Valiants,
the Briscoes. You've got the McMahons. You've got the Burgers.
Any you know, other, the Eliminator is actually part of the Burger family too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, then they need to bring back Josh Lomberger too and get Josh Matthews on the stage. Any other stories that caught your attention?
Well, I have a little anecdote. It's not exactly like a big wrestling headline story, but one of my best friends actually, he works at a local summer camp on their ropes course, and summer camp was closing this week. He had his last day on the job for the season because kids are going back to school already. It's freaking ridiculous. These kids don't get to have any summer. They're all going back to school. It sucks. But it was the last day that they were there, and when they were getting ready to leave, by they, I mean him and some of the other counselors, one of the other ones was like, hey, kids, this is the last day for these guys, so let's all show them the best way to say goodbye. And all the kids suddenly started breaking out into yes chants. Like, just a whole, like, sea of, like, 120 camper kids just going all out with yes chants.
That's cool. That's you know, really crossed over.
That's how much it's transcended. Yeah, like, I'm sure, like, a big market of those kids watches and knows what that's all about. But I'm sure there's a lot that don't, too, and they followed along with it.
Did you just say rope camp?
He works at the ropes course, like, you know, doing zip lining and obstacle courses and stuff like that. Yeah, he does that.
When you said that, I pictured the Eliminator from The Simpsons.
Yeah, there you go. And the icing on the cake also is, as he was leaving, one of the kids asked what he was going to do. And he's like, oh, I don't know. You know, I'm going to have to find a new job. I have to figure out what I'm going to do. And the kid was like, oh, I know you can make it. All you have to do is believe.
I like these kids. And then Callisto came out of nowhere and started taking it.
And was like, here's a job, buddy, and left. It's like, what was that?
And then the social media guy came around and said, hey, that's a job for somebody like Del Rio.
Oh, God.
On that note, we're going to transition to one of the last things that we're going to do on this episode, and that is just a quick little thing with the Fantasy League.
I got nothing for that.
If you've got any kind of trades and stuff like that that you guys are thinking about doing?
Yep. I got trades.
Okay. Let me pull up the thing.
As nobody's here, I may as well do my awesome substitutions.
I haven't even updated with the last round of substitutions yet. I'm pretty behind on getting that spreadsheet updated. Let's see. I think you made the last number of trades too, Sean.
What?
I think you made. Oh no! Actually, you're in first for a trade anyway. Okay, go ahead. What do you want to do?
I want to drop Daniel Bryan.
All right.
Because he's not back until like next year, and I'll pick up Heisler.
Very smart. Okay. Wow. We're gonna take the one man band.
You put.
Or the guy who's a 1-3 man band somehow. All right. Was there? I mean, I guess I should ask Tony. Is there anything you want to do?
Well, it is really tempting to pick up that Alberto Del Rio. Looking at my team right now, I'm not really too happy with them for some of the people, but I'm going to keep them the same way that they are because who knows.
All right. Sean, was there anyone else you wanted?
I honestly can't remember where I got on my team. I know I got Randy Orton because that trade went through last week, didn't it?
You have Randy Orton, Jack Swagger, Luke Harper, Adam Rose, and now Heath Slater.
I want to drop Adam Rose.
Okay. For who?
Kofi Kingston, please.
I have Kofi.
Yeah.
Oh, you have Kofi, too? Oh, yep. I'll have Biggie Langston. Is Biggie still there?
Kofi, Biggie, and Xavier are all off the table.
For fuck's sake.
The people that are on able to be picked up are, well, Daniel Bryan, but you just dropped him. Bad News Barrett, Rob Van Dam, Kane, Big Show, Batista, Curtis Axel, Ryback, Mark Henry, Damian Sandow, Fandango.
I'll drop Harper for Ryback.
You're gonna drop Harper?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so, yeah, as well butcher my fucking team, innit?
Well, you got rid of both all your Wyatts now. That's why you started off with all three Wyatts, and now you got none.
Got rid of all of them, thank God.
All right.
So are you making any trades, Peyton?
No.
I will then.
Okay.
I'm going to drop Eric Rowan and pick up Luke Harper.
Okay. Well, there you go then.
Oh, well, I might as well pick up Eric Rowan then.
No.
Thought for Ryback, please.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay.
We could have traded.
Yeah, that's essentially what you guys just did.
I'll drop Adam Rose Fandango, please.
Okay, that's an interesting one. Adam Rose, wow, three trades in 1 week. God damn, I don't think anyone's done that before.
So now, are you gonna pick up Adam Rose, Peyton?
No.
You're not gonna trade maybe Paige, maybe Cesaro.
No.
I'll swap with Jack Swagger for Paige.
That Peyton has Paige.
Yeah,
I think he was talking to me. Yeah. No, I'm good in that.
Can we trade Miguel's team or Wego's team? Or...
No.
I'll swap Jack Swagger for Seth Rollins.
I don't think we can do that. I'm sorry.
Andrew's not here. We can do it, right? Guys, come on.
Can I just say, it's nice of you to do smart art moment on a fucking decent time for once.
That's why you're lively on this episode. Well, I don't have any other trades that I want to make. If you're not going to make any trades, Peyton, then is there any more trades that you're going to make, Sean?
Why did you ask him?
I'm contemplating on getting rid of Jack Swagger, but I don't know for who.
Jack Swagger might actually win at the SummerSlam.
Yeah, I'd be keeping him for you. Unless you want to just pick back up Adam Rose.
Adam Rose. I do like Adam Rose. I'm a big fan. It's just... You know there's something wrong when the bunny is getting more momentum than you.
Yeah, but he's still on TV every week and he's winning almost all of his matches.
Yeah. You still got Bo Dallas on you, but...
Yeah, I'm not giving up Bo just yet. Even though God, don't get me started on that again.
Dude.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that.
Dark times.
And who has AJ? You have AJ.
Yep, I do.
Yeah, this isn't where the fucking Divas wrestling is, though.
There's
really.
The Bellas, I think, are open.
Someone has Brie.
Miguel
has
Brie.
Miguel has Brie, yeah. Wait, does Stephanie McMahon count now?
Technically not, no. I don't think she counts. She's like a one-time appearance person.
So is Brock Lesnar.
No, Brock Lesnar shows up multiple times, and he's going to be a world heavyweight champion. So there's a big difference between Brock Lesnar and Stephanie McMahon.
Hey, never know. Stephanie could book herself in the title match.
She could. If she really wants to drive WWE into the ground, she could. I mean, it's not like she wouldn't be taken after dear old dad, so.
Well, she won the women's championship. Why can't she win the divas championship?
She could.
Yeah, she could. I don't think that'll happen, though.
No.
Well, then our teams right now, for those who aren't following it 100% and got confused about all the trades that happened, Team Drew White is Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Sheamus, Dolph Ziggler, and Xavier Woods.
Team AIDS, as I like to call it.
Steve Wego's team is John Cena, Bray Wyatt, Big E, Chris Jericho, and Goldust. My team is Kofi Kingston, Dean Ambrose, AJ Lee, Luke Harper, and The Miz. I'm actually kind of happy with this team now. Team Sean Walker is Randy Orton, Jack Swagger, Eric Rowan, Fandango, and Heath Slater. Team Miguel Leon is Alexander Rusev, Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso, Brie Bella, and Triple H.
Who's Alexander Rusev?
He's that tag team partner of Big E Langston
Oh.
and Antonio Cesaro. And Team Peyton is Brock Lesnar, Cesaro, Bo Dallas, Paige, and Stardust.
And we're no longer known as Team Homeless, we're known as Team Midnight Slammers.
Team Midnight Slammers. So you should be drafting some Raider team, right?
Oh, don't get him started.
Not an option. That is an option, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, come on, I'll drop Eric Rowan for some Aria.
Okay. Oh, goodness. So I'm just going to put Summer Rae in Eric Rowan's place. There.
That's funny. All right, well then
Miracle.
that changes all over again for that, but Orton, Swagger, Summer Rae, Fandango, and Heath Slater for Team Midnight Slammers.
Sub for me, sub for me.
Right, well, that will do us in for this episode of Smack Talk. Thank you guys for listening. We are going to go around one time and do some plugs here, and then that'll be it for us. So, Peyton, hit us with anything you want to promote.
Well, we appreciate having Smack Talk make one of its rare appearances here on Mega Powers Radio, and we appreciate all who tuned in tonight. Keep tuning in for everything else at megapowersradio.com. We got shows going on all the time with fun stuff going on, specifically the Raw post show every Monday night following Raw, and the Daceman show on Wednesday night, who's going to be having a very special guest this Wednesday night, the creators of the game Default Dan, this game we found out about when we were at the Too Many Games convention. There was a lot of games there, but this one stuck out. It was really cool. It was a game where everything was the opposite of what you expect it to be. So if you think normally in a game where you would want to get a coin, no, coins are bad. Coins kill you. And it was a very frustrating experience. I couldn't get too into it, but our very own Chris Dace loved it. You probably know Chris Dace from this show as well. So check that out this Wednesday, 8 p.m. here on megapowersradio.com.
Sean, anything you want to throw out there for promotional purposes?
As the leader of the Midnight Slammers, go to my YouTube page, which is youtube.com/Shaughnessy1989. My Twitter page is Shaughnessy2K37, which will be more active during my football season, where you'll see me rage, swear, and maybe call some racist remarks towards the referee. And yeah, just follow me on there if you like sports and want to talk sports. I'm of
Sports,
a sports kind of guy, so tweet me on that. Facebook, I'm giving that out. Pornhub.com/happypope. And I think that's it. Yeah, that's it.
All right, guys, I'm going to lead you off with one more mailbag question since nobody called in earlier for the Alberto Del Rio's father thing. So this is the one that you guys can leave those comments on the YouTube one for, and that is, what other WWE superstar was almost fired last year for disorderly conduct backstage? So leave that comment, send that tweet at SmarkOutMoment with the hashtag AskHim. Stay tuned to everything else coming your way with SmartCalMoment.com and SmackDog in the future. On the next episode of SmackDog, we're going to be talking about the SummerSlam predictions. And then, of course, the one after that, we will be reviewing the pay-per-view. And whatever other special features that we have in the future, we will keep you updated on that on the next episode. And on the Facebook page, facebook.com/SmartCalMoment. Twitter page, twitter.com/SmartCalMoment. And, of course, SmartCalMoment.com. Thank you to everybody on the panel this evening. Thank you to those who listened and everybody who listens later on the archive version on SmartCalMoment.com. This has been another SmartCal Moment, and we're being counted out.